Welcome to the Reroll Gaming Podcast, where I, Tanner Prentice, guide five of my closest friends through an original adventure playing the tabletop role-playing game Pathfinder 2nd Edition. In the world of Rell, five strangers brought together a resistance under the shadow of the Black Reach Empire. Until everything changed. A villain and former lover named Hogoth fractured the planes of existence, ushering in an endless night and an era of undeath. All in the name of an undying dragon, Zarox. Now, the fate of Rell is left to these five adventurers.
My name is Ayla, and I play Bo Cantrell, a fallen Asimar and cleric, with Cosmios, the god of fate, as my deity.
Hi, my name is Zane, and I play Cinder Lafayette, the halfling investigator with a dicey past.
My name is Octavia, and I play Starlit Moonbow. Star, as she's better known by her companions, is on a mission to save her true love, Faya, from the Maiden of Spiders.
Hi, my name is Latara, and I play Kiaren Nimone the Sadistic, the Dolel champion of Emin, who yearns for that redemption that is so far out of her reach.
I'm Brendan Geyer.
And I am Frost, your new favorite kobold barbarian. Honor-bound to protect and serve Groth's party. And oath-bound to finish his mission.
These five heroes are the last best hope to save Rell. But can they overcome this darkness that spreads under the shattered sky? Find out now on the Reroll Gaming Podcast.
I'm dying.
Welcome back to
like
the
smell
Reroll
that down here.
Gaming Podcast. Home of the smelliest burps Zane's colon can muster.
I chugged that Red Bull you gave me, and for some reason it's just now catching up to me.
Why is he burping from his colon, Tanner?
Because he's full of shit.
Like, where do you burp from? Yeah, there.
Boom, roasted. I don't have an icebreaker. Anybody have an icebreaker?
This is the Master Chief episode.
What?
117?
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
I still don't get it.
Anybody else play Halo?
Spartan John Halo.
I
played
John Halo.
Yeah. I used to play Halo with my buddy Manny, and I used to get so fucking mad at Halo. I was never good at it. Distinctly remember one time chasing a guy through one of those gravitational lifts and throwing a plasma grenade after he went through one, and then following him in and going up and sticking my own plasma grenade to my face to where my whole vision had a blue hue to it, and then just exploding and being like, "You committed suicide." It's like, okay.
Like, that's not what happened, like, but okay, whatever.
Yeah, that's like an impressive like threshold for how bad you can get a video game.
I had to jump through so many hoops just to accidentally kill myself.
I mean, I played a lot of Halo, but it was just the campaign and stuff. And then, like, actually, it's weird. I went back when they did the Master Chief Collection on PC. I went back and realized that I don't think I ever really played the third one. Like, I played the shit out of the first and second one. Yeah, and then the fourth one is terrible.
Reach? I thought Reach was supposed to be good.
No, Reach is great. Halo 4 is just, like, not good. Like, I think that was, I don't know if that was when 343 took over or not, but,
I think so.
Yeah. It was just, like, it didn't, like, I don't know, whatever. I could rant about it. There's so many moments in Halo 2 that, like, almost, like, make me tear up a little bit, just how, like, fucking, like, epic they are, and, like, the soundtrack is amazing. And then in 4, it just kind of feels like every, like, a lot of other generic, like, space military shooters.
Yeah, I did really love doing, like, the co-op campaign. It was also, like, back then when you played Halo meant you'd get together with a bunch of your friends and drink and hang out super late at night and stuff. That was fun.
Hell yeah. My probably most distinct memory with Halo is, I think I jumped on top of a tank, and I'd seen something where somebody shot down into a tank and took out the pilot, but I didn't really know what they did, and so I just shot down into the tank. And I fucking headshot myself with a ricochet with a sniper rifle. And
meanwhile, Tanner's lifeless corpse flies across the background with a sticky grenade.
We were probably on the same team.
Yeah. Yeah, we probably were.
It's funny. Wasn't there something it's like if you hop on the tanks, I think if you melee like the hatch, it does like a shit ton of damage or something.
Yeah, and you can like toss this weirdly plasma grenade, yeah. I think, right on the hatch, and it'll just that definitely kill the driver.
Yeah, you can melee the hatch, I think, and then throw a
grenade in there.
Throw a grenade in there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, that's what it was. That was what
I think. I don't know. It's been a while.
Anyways. I remember when Halo Reach came out and everybody was really excited, really liked it. And I had one of those old, like, first-gen arcade Xbox 360 that for some reason still hadn't got the, like, Red Ring of Death. And I had an issue. And I returned the game to GameStop, like, 3 or 4 times and got new discs. But it would run on my system up until a singular point in the first mission, it would crash my system, and after 2 multiplayer missions, it would crash my system. So I'd be playing Halo with my friends, I'd play 2 missions, I'd crash, they'd play a third, I'd jump on, which really added to the overall frustration of the experience.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember, actually, something that really bothered me, too, because I played a little bit of the multiplayer on Infinite, and the fact that you can like phase through other enemies like just kind of ruined it for me.
Yeah.
Like in every other game, you couldn't clip through other people, but in this one, you can for some reason. And it just like it makes things like doing like the assassination, like hitting them in the back, like just not feel nearly as satisfying.
Halo was a wild time. That was like pretty definitive of, I think, our generation.
I think Halo might have been the first online game I ever played.
Hmm. I remember convincing my dad to let me. Yeah, I remember convincing my dad to let me get the first Halo because it was mature, and I was like, "It's only alien blood, Dad, so I can get it."
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure we had Halo because of my dad.
Nice.
He liked playing games. He played a Unreal Tournament before that.
Oh, what an OG! Unreal Tournament.
I just remember watching him play it on the computer with the dial-up. You know, I'm aging myself.
Dial-up.
Remember the instigib death matches where you all have the like the big ass laser beam like the end game weapon, and you just instantly kill anything you shoot, and so everybody's just running around and then like respawning suddenly. That's the whole game.
Okay. Well, speaking of definitive gaming moments.
We cut to Cinder losing, trying to get rid of her sick and two status by vomiting usually after everybody else is safely on the ground.
Yeah, yeah. We pick up right at the base of the Widow's Cliffs that you have just scaled, deftly avoiding a potentially fatal combat with a group of cloakers who had tried to lure you to falling to your deaths, but you were too mean and scary for them. So
can I remove this, or do you want me to roll it?
We'll say you guys can take the time. That's fine.
Okay.
In fact, we are at the base of the cliffside here. What would you guys like to do? You are right at the cusp of the Spire Forest, this dense conglomerate of old, dark wooded trees and tall stalagmites that tower even far above the oldest tree here.
I mean, yeah, I think Cinder just wiping the rest of the sick off of her mouth with her sleeve is just like, that's quite unpleasant. You can really feel it in your bones.
I can feel it in my shoes.
Frost wears shoes?
Air Jordans.
Yeah, man.
It's
nasty.
Have we taken a long rest? Did we take a long rest before we climbed down this or after?
It was at the top. How long did it take us to climb down?
Took you about 3 hours.
So it's still like noonish.
Yeah, because I am fatigued. So,
I think a few of you are fatigued, and I think Frost is enfeebled.
Yes, that's mostly why I didn't punch Cinder for vomiting on his shoes.
What does, if anything, Kieran know about any specific dangers in the Spire Force?
Go ahead and give me a nature check.
Can I do something like that as well?
Yeah, sure.
I'm untrained in nature, so if that's what you're going to say, I'm going to say no.
I would say nature or survival would work here.
I got a 27.
Survival.
27? Okay. You would know a couple things, Kieran, that lurk in the spire forest. Notably, this is a breeding ground for large spiders. The tall spires make very natural environments for them to tie their webbing off to. Particularly dangerous spider that lingers here is a Goliath spider, a spider roughly the size of a small house. Actually, medium house, I would say.
Like a nice two-bedroom in the suburbs.
Yeah, something that you would not be able to afford in Seattle.
It could probably like eat a bird, at least, right?
If it can afford it. If it does live in Seattle, yeah, burgers are like $16.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Birdgers?
Bird, not burgers. But
no, yeah. Bird burger. I'm hungry.
Birds are also $16 in Seattle.
Wait, there's a bird the size of a medium house here?
Maybe.
I feel like I missed something.
You would also know that food here is easier to come by than elsewhere in Subterranea. But mostly insects and giant bats would be your prey. There are also... Excuse me. There are also examples of dangerous flora here, including the notorious scythe trees. Trees with scythe-like limbs that blend into their background with cunning precision that are ambushing creatures.
So I guess, like, you kind of painted a little bit of a picture of what we're looking at the end of the last episode, but, like, elaborating on that, is there, like, you said there's kind of some flora. Like, is this, like, a dense forest, or is it, like, more dead trees littered with, like, various clusters of plant life? Like,
I would say the latter. More dead trees or sort of almost cursed-looking trees
right.
of dark primal magics. But it is filled with critters. Even as you are on the edge of it, millipedes that are 2 foot in length are crawling over decaying corpses of giant bats while fungus grows at the base of twisted rooted trees.
So, like, still, like, fairly dense ecology, but just, like, a lot different.
Yeah, it seems like, in a weird way, this is kind of the opposite of what you came from in the surface plateau, somewhere that was very open and very desolate. This is very dense, and there is a good manner of life here.
Probably much more dangerous then.
Potentially.
Per square foot.
But outside of that, that's all you seem to know about the Spire Forest, Kieran. Strategically, the Dolel don't normally enter the Spire Forest unless they are pursuing somebody. But it is a good place to get lost forever. It is also a good place to harvest spider eggs, so.
So they might come into it sometimes for the eggs?
Yeah, but usually not going too deep, and unless they want a prized Goliath spider egg, but that is quite a danger of itself.
Well, this may be called the Spire Forest, but me and my father always called it the Spider Forest.
Ha ha!
Cinder throws up again.
It is full of critters of unusual size.
You're having a lot of fun here, aren't you?
Sorry. My bad joke's out of the way. There's also the trees may appear dead, but they are also quite lethal. Be aware of ones that have scythes. They might just cut you in half.
What now? What did you say?
Yeah, that exactly. Can I do a knowledge roll on Goliath spiders in case we fight in here?
Yeah, definitely.
Nature, I'm guessing?
Yes, this is going to be a nature check.
Oops. Out of the box.
Can I do a society or something to see if anybody around Kvirholt, do I know of any, like, roads that extend or any infrastructure that extends into the Spire Forest at all?
I will go ahead and give this to you. Actually, yeah, go ahead and roll it.
Okay. Society.
Society.
Not 20.
Okay. So as you really, your only resource here is murmurings, whispers, stories, legends, and the Scribble Scribe Adventure Guide. There seems to really be no carved path. There's no open trade here in Subterranea. Anything that resembles any sorts of paths are footpaths or traveled by larger beasts of burden. Kverholt is a newish, what's the word I'm looking for? A newish, newish settlement. So you really have limited knowledge, even with the critical success, though you would guess that they would probably likely travel via river, the Wyvernblood River, before traveling through the Spire Forest.
I was kind of thinking that too. And also remind me, is Kverholt where Glamera probably came from?
Most likely.
What she was talking about? Like the city next to the big drop?
Yes.
Okay. Because I think, Cinder would probably bring that up as well in response to Kiara and say, it seems that if I had to guess, Glamera and her companions probably used the river. Would that not be a safer way of travel than going through the heart of the Spire Forest itself, Kiaran?
I believe the river might be in some ways safer, we are much more likely to run into other beings that will put up a much harder fight.
You'd also probably need a boat.
On top of needing a boat.
I'm almost just thinking more about like traveling with it. I mean, that would at least put a big open river on one side of us, so we're not totally surrounded, but...
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Not surrounded, but cornerable.
Yeah.
It's a trade-off.
It's also a good point.
Well, what do you all think? Should we brave the Spire Forest itself or try and flank it as much as possible? Although, to Kiaran's point, if anybody were to set up a chokehold on an obvious path of travel, it would probably be along the river. It would be easier to be found there if anyone were looking for us.
I think it might be better if we do not announce our presence beforehand. That's why we brought disguise potions for when we get there. If they hear of creatures not from down here, they might be more on guard. Especially given their prisoner.
I would defer to Kiaran's judgment in this situation.
I don't actually know if that's true. I'm making bullshit up, but...
I like it. I think it makes sense.
I only got a 18 on my knowledge for the Goliath.
All you know about Goliath spiders is they have no trouble wiping out entire raiding groups.
Okay.
Can I find anything about it in the adventure guide?
Yeah, I will kind of say, like, our biggest enemy in the Spire Forest would be the Goliath spider. They have been known to wipe out full parties. I don't know if any of you read up on them at any point.
You said you're untrained in nature, Cinder?
Yeah.
Okay, I think the adventure guide doesn't allude to anything. It alludes to large spiders, but it's impossible to tell if that's a Goliath spider or, you know, a giant hunting spider, anything of this.
Well, I'd probably put it this way too, like leafing through this thing, trying to find an entry, just say there are references to this Goliath spider, but the lack of information believes me that anybody who went looking for this thing probably didn't make it back.
Bo, do you want to do a nature check, see if you know anything about these Goliath spiders?
Sure.
Does it look anything like that giant house-sized spider standing right behind you, Bo? Or is it a different one?
Nope, different one.
No. Okay.
Thank God.
That's a false spider.
Oh, those are the little
spider.
Ones. Don't worry about them.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Quite tame when they're children.
Got a 30.
Nice.
Okay. So you have heard, maybe somebody has come across the monastery who had an encounter with a Goliath spider, something that crawled above them and devoured an entire pair of oxen, and completely enwebbing a cart and many others. These spiders are gargantuan. They, of course, can sense anything that touches their webs and ambush foes, but really, more than anything, their paralyzing venom and their surprisingly agile abilities can prove to be deadly.
William was like the size of like a car, roughly, right? Like he was
the size of like a horse.
Yeah.
So imagine something the size of like, you know, 20, 30 horses.
Did he happen to mention if he noticed any weaknesses as he escaped?
No weaknesses and no resistances on this creature.
They have no weakness.
Kieran will kind of turn to Star and take note of how tired Star looks and just be like, Star, I know we are in a bit of a hurry, but maybe even though it's midday, we should find a place to rest. I'll leave it in your decision.
The sun would keep me from sleeping.
Did you say the sun? Yes. Yeah. Good thing there is no sun.
Ever. Anywhere.
If you just turn around really quick, you'll feel kind of a sharp pain, but then you should be out.
Thank you. A warrior's good night.
It's a warrior's good night. I think this is an interesting conundrum for Star, because you do know, being fatigued, you are not at your best, and others in your party are fatigued as well. However, you are inching closer and closer to Faya.
I think Star, keeping that in mind, yeah. I am exhausted, but I think it might be best if we forge on ahead.
Well, do your best to not touch the webs, as Bo pointed out. And remember, things might be above us, so eyes everywhere.
I don't know if this is something I have to roll for or not, but I mean, would I know anything about webs and fire being not friends?
I think that's easy enough for you to know, especially knowing with William that fire would definitely burn webs. But it's kind of a two-pronged approach, mm-hmm. because especially comparing your notes with Beau's notes about the Goliath spider, if you were to burn these webs, while it would clear the area for you, whoever created the webs and are lurking on it will know and will be able to sense you. So
I was thinking more of like a worst case scenario. If we're found out when we're fucked, I mean, if we got some fire, it might help us.
Totally.
Cool.
So we push on then, quietly. Sounds like.
If we want to do follow the leader for stealth, we can do that.
Okay. Yeah, everybody let me know what exploration activity you would like to do.
Keep in mind, if you're fatigued, can't do that.
Oh, that's right. You can't even do exploration activities.
That's lame.
Yeah, because you're too tired.
I mean, Star's not above being talked out of it, but if you're leaving the decision to her, she wants to get to Faya faster.
Sure.
I mean,
Kiaren's following Star, so I don't know if anyone else is going to argue it.
I mean, it's definitely a detriment, but it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Cinder would, because she's also looking pretty tired as well, would say that is true, but the Spire Force isn't going anywhere. We best be prepared for when we decide to enter. But I will follow your lead.
How many of you are fatigued? Three of you?
I think the least.
Yeah.
Okay. Cinder, Frost, and Star. That's pretty big. You pretty much...
Yeah, we all...
You'd be relying on Kiaran and Bo to kind of lead you through this.
Yeah, we definitely wouldn't be stealthy.
Yeah,
we might be able to guide, but there's no stealthing.
Yeah. I guess, Frost, do you have anything to say in argument or not?
I should like to best defend you at the top of my abilities. I believe that... I believe that a rest may be beneficial.
I mean... Shit. I hate to admit it, but I think you're right. I don't know that I can save Faya without being at the top of my abilities either. Perhaps we should rest.
And Inara clomps forward, raises her head, and goes, "Meh."
Where the fuck did you come from?
Meh.
I think she has a rock stuck in her throat.
I think she can teleport between rocks like Inara can with trees.
She only has one rock stuck in her throat. Quick, everybody shove at least one more down.
Yeah, we gotta
and
push
a huge
that
rock
down.
Comes out and tumbles, covered in saliva. All right, so this is your third night in Subterranea. You have a week's worth of rations. Just from the city, as well as your own personal ones.
Oh, we only have a week's?
Only had a week's. I don't know how long this was going to take you.
Neither do we.
But you could also hunt. Kiaran, you did know that hunting here was easier.
That's true.
Spider.
Though I will say the only...
Spider meat.
The only people who can hunt or scout while you guys are setting up your camp will be Bo or Kiaran, who are... not fatigued.
Well, if Bo wants to look for a camp, I'll go hunt.
Okay.
Or we could just stick with rations for now and hunt tomorrow.
That's true.
I mean, it's either got way. Plenty of daylight.
Mm-hmm. One thing I will say is you won't have to really look for a camping spot because where you have landed at the base of the cliffs is likely going to be your best bet because you will not be in the Spire Forest. You're right on the mouth of it.
If we spend a brief moment like scouting the immediate area, there's no nice little caves or any like crags we can tuck ourselves into.
I mean, I guess you could do that, but you're too tired. So,
okay.
Bo, do you want to roll a survival? See if you can find a little place to tuck away.
A little culvert.
Yeah.
What did you just call her?
Can I roll for her?
That's your sister, dude. Yeah, go ahead and roll survival.
20.
19 on mine.
Okay, with a 19, you can't seem to push yourself to go deep enough into the Spire Forest to see this kind of dense ecology. You go maybe 30 feet in, but as soon as you get that far in and the vision sort of disappears behind you of your party, you just can't find what you need. And then, Bo, with your 20, you ascertain that where you landed is pretty much the best place to set up camp. There's no additional coverage that you could find within traveling distance without peering into the Spire Forest. Okay. So your third night in Subterranea, anything you would like to do or describe as the night winds down or just getting your rest?
Is Frost too tired to like kind of just gather up some gravel and kind of spread it around in a semicircle around the spot that we're camping up against the cliff?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think seeing this too, Cinder would toss you her bag of caltrops.
Oh, nice.
Nice, very good.
Put a line of those.
If you can return those to me in the morning, great. If not, they'll be put to good use.
Yeah, I will spread those in a distinct line, like behind the gravel, to where they can be recollected in the morning.
Okay.
Go.
Great.
We do also have three sets of caltrops in the bag of holding, too.
I just have caltrops. I don't know how many that is specifically.
A billion.
Probably be one set if it doesn't specify, one. Would be my guess.
Yeah.
I have one caltrops.
Set. Okay. One bag. Little baggy. Yeah.
Who is taking... We have four watches. Who's taking watch?
Are we able to take watch?
Yeah, you guys can still take watch.
Okay, I'll take first watch.
I got second.
Oh, okay, I got third.
Third. Second.
I guess, I don't know, if the other two that are not exhausted want to do that, then Star will just sleep the whole way through.
Okay.
Well, I'll join you on second watch.
You know me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, so then Star will take third, Bo will take fourth. How about that?
Sounds good.
Everybody roll me a perception check.
29. Actually, 30.
Actually, 31. Yeah, 32.
40.
Throwing it up to 50.
I rolled a 600.
You see everything.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
31 as well.
I got it.
Okay. 22. 30,
31, 22. Frost, what'd you get?
18, so y'all's might not matter. We might just die during my watch.
It depends on which watch the house-sized spider decides to attack our camp.
It's that one.
It's just a common house spider, and by that I mean it's commonly the size of a house.
Nothing to be scared of.
Yeah.
Don't bother being scared, you just die. Okay.
I just like the idea of it being like this giant, menacing, disgusting, hairy spider with like rows of like jagged fangs and shit. And you're just like, no, no, wait, that's actually a false house spider. They're actually quite harmless.
Did you want to do some roleplay, Kieran? Is that why you're...
No, she just doesn't trust Cinder.
Okay.
That's good roleplay.
So, I mean, if Cinder, I'm sure, reads her when she says that, she catches that she just doesn't trust her or take watch.
Yeah, sure. I think Cinder's probably not reading into it too much, but maybe still does notice that.
Bo, what'd you get on your perception check for watch?
22.
Okay. The night passes uneventfully. A eerily quiet evening in Subterranea. Lying at the base of the Widow's Cliffs with the ominous spire forest off in the distance. As whatever constitutes morning rolls around, you all begin to wake up. This was, what, your third night in Subterranea?
I believe so, yeah.
You have four more days of rations provided by the city, as well as your own.
I have two personal ones.
Excellent. But Kieran did know that, I believe it was Kieran, did know that finding game in the Spire Forest is easier than the rest of Subterranea. How would you guys like to proceed into this forest as we transition into exploration mode?
We can always risk buying food in Nikotov, too.
It's true.
I mean, I was kind of thinking I got four other perfectly healthy party members to eat.
Right.
Does Bo get some more potions made?
Bo, give me a crafting check.
Really quick, did we ever ask the question of how long it was roughly going to take us to get through the Spire Forest?
I believe. I believe that you can roll survival if you like, but I do believe that kind of depends on, you know, what happens. If anything slows you, things of the sort.
Right.
Bo, what did you get for your crafting check?
A natural one.
Natural one. That is a critical failure. So you... I believe we already spent the coin, but you actually lose that coin you spent and are unable to recover it and do not make more potions.
So it's four that I should take out?
That is four potions you should take out.
In a half-sleep, stumbling stupor in the middle of the night, you mistake the walking cauldron for a chamber pot and just, like, fill it with piss.
Oh, God, how terrifying. Taking a pee on it and just fucking, it gets up.
I just like you, like you're not even registering yourself, just like half asleep. You're just like kind of walking around after it, like peeing on it.
Why would you find a pot to pee on out in the wild? And... Oh, never mind. It's fun.
Good one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. How do you
don't
guys...
forget to click rest and get rid of your guys' fatigue.
No, oh, yeah.
Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah. Am I supposed to still be enfeebled? I don't remember what caused that.
That will end with your rest.
Okay. Thank you, kind God.
Everybody should be at full health, ready to rock and or roll. How do you wish to proceed into the dense spire force? Let me get some musique.
I mean, I think Cinder's definitely just deferring to the more seasoned, you know, Subterranea expert at this point. Probably following Kiaran's lead.
Yeah, Frost is, Frost's gonna take up a rear scout position today.
Okay, rear scout.
Yep.
Frost, can you,
shaking tails and stuff. He's a little paranoid now.
Can Frost, like, climb these spires to get a better look at the surrounding environment? Not saying we should do that right now, but just for future reference.
Probably.
Go ahead and give me...
If that's what you're asking.
Either one of you can give me a nature check if you like.
Probably a good way to attract spiders.
That's a 22 for me.
Okay. With a 22, that is exactly your feeling, is that that is a good idea, a good way to get a glimpse into the canopy, above the canopy, rather, of the spire forest. However, almost all of these stalagmites and treetops are connected through this thick spider web. It would be
so, I guess,
difficult to navigate.
So assuming that we're expendable viewpoint reporter.
Well, actually, it would make it
single.
It would make it quite a bit easier to climb.
I guess the other thing I was wondering too, assuming we've kind of started our excursion, like looking around at all the webs and all the captured prey, like, is it like a diverse kind of assortment of things that wander and get captured, or does it seem like the spiders more focus on like flying creatures, or are they just getting anything that they can get their hands on at this point?
Why don't we go ahead and roll that into a search action as you are exploring? So go ahead and give me a perception.
Okay.
Frost, you are taking up a rear scouting position. I'll get a perception from you as well. Bo, what would you like to do?
I mean, before Bo was trying to stay oriented, so maybe I think that he'd still do that.
Okay, so give me a survival check. Kiaran, what would you like to do?
I think she would turn to the others and be like, seems we're getting low on our rations, so I might try my hand at hunting. Keep your eyes out for danger. And hoping that they'll be paying more attention with her a little distracted.
Great. You can roll a survival check. And Starlit Moonbow, what would you like to do?
I mean, so we have two or three people rolling perception already.
We have two rolling perception. One is focused in the back. One is focused as where you are. Frost is scouting from the back, and Cinder is sort of searching amongst the victims of the spider corpses, trying to identify more things about them, more things about their prey. So you could, you know, scout from the front, you can stay stealthy or try to. There's plenty of things.
I mean, I guess I'd probably try to help hunt.
Okay, perfect. Go ahead and give me a survival check. I think that's actually smart, too. Passing through the spire forest, maximizing your yield of hunting while you can might help prolong your travel. So we'll go ahead and start with Cinder. What did you get on your perception?
I got a 25.
25, great.
It's okay.
As you are continuing through, you do see many, many corpses webbed up, restrained above you. In fact, it's an eerie journey because while larger spiders definitely dwell on the surface in forests like these, they aren't so prevalent. As you guys are walking, dozens of feet above you, horse-sized spiders balance on their webs. And it's these, I know there's not really any light sources, but you see these kind of faint shadows or movement above you, and it's disturbing, to say the least.
Are they pretty quiet when they move?
Almost silent, yes.
Okay. That is creepy.
Many of these corpses seem to have been there for ages. You get the sense that they might have been fought over, forgotten about, or neglected. But these range, you see smaller sizes, what you could likely determine to be gnomes. You know that there are subterranean gnomes in the area. As well as, and we'll even go as far to say, you find sort of a lone one at the base of a tree and slide a dagger through it and find a dead Dolel inside. Frost,
I think, just at that point for flavor, too, I think Cinder will turn to Kiara and just say, it seems their diet is even more diverse than I thought it would be. Seems nobody is out of the... Nobody's off the food chain at this point.
If Cinder points at, like, a Dolel corpse, does the clothing look worth salvaging as part of our disguises?
Yeah, I think that you could take some time and take this. It would fit a medium creature, probably fit you pretty well, Kiaren. But yeah, you can. It's like some studded leather with. Actually, Kiaren, you would know this. Let me pull up my map real quick. Pum, 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 pum.
Can spiders hear sound? Like. Can I hear?
Hey, can you hear me up there?
The things that I'm expected to know as a DM. Yeah. Hey, quick question. Do spiders hear? I don't know.
What about not spiders in general, but your spiders?
Yeah. Hearing. If you'll allow me to set up, or my follow-up question, too, to kind of, like, trying to assess their, just the spiders' like motivations in terms of prey and stuff. Does it seem like, I mean, because I'm getting the impression that they might not even really care about our presence until one of us happens to maybe get caught up in a web. Because I imagine that it's almost not worth the energy or the fight to, like, go after prey that's not, like ensnared, basically.
I think that is an astute observation, especially given the relative abundance of game here. Because you also do find smaller cocooned, like, millipedes and bats, even... You know, a large giant bat that has been recently caught, maybe 10 feet above you, struggling to get out of the web. So, yeah, I think that is...
Following up on that, Cinder will kind of, like, quietly take a moment to, like, watch this bat, and then maybe, like, a smaller, medium-sized spider, like, kind of comes out and snatches it up and starts webbing it up, and she'll kind of come to that conclusion and just say,
it seems that they are aware of our presence, but... don't really consider us prey unless we happen to find ourselves in a helpless situation, the same as that bat, so I think that goes doubly sure for our previous observation. We should avoid these webs at all costs.
Meanwhile, as Kiaren, you see this Dolel corpse, you identify a pin on its studded spider silk leathers, a pin representing House Alukin. This is a lower-born house, and likely this Dolel was a part of some sort of raiding party that came here for a desperate treasure of some sorts. And you know that Dolel will come here to try to domesticate or capture larger spiders for their own use.
I'll pull the pin off and kind of flick it to Star and just say, House Alukin.
Who?
She's trying to focus on the map I sent her earlier.
One of the lower of the upper houses.
Lower middle class house.
So middle. No, yeah, but not lower. Not lower. They're high enough to have a house.
Yeah. Now, Frost, what did you get on your perception check?
That'd be a 27.
27. As you travel deeper and deeper into the spire forest and the cusp of the woods disappears behind you, you can't help but notice that there are a lot of ravens. Every turn you take, you see a raven. Every time you look behind you, you see a raven. But none of them caw.
Kiaren, you've been down here before. Those birds, they're real, right?
I'll look at what he's pointing at.
Give me a nature check.
Oh man, oscillating. Natural one.
It's a bird.
Yeah, I see it.
I think maybe good. Cinder. Good.
That is good.
Maybe picking up on your suspicions a little bit. We'll kind of like maybe like cock her head towards a star and just be like, well, if nothing else, it would make for a good supper. Do you think you can hit it from here?
I can certainly try.
Okay, roll to hit. And as you
swing
draw
my fist
out
at
your, you punch it.
And this just looks like a normal like raven, right?
Yeah.
Like normal size.
Normal size, tiny little raven.
Just checking. It's like you're not gonna kill some like smart species or something.
Well, ravens are pretty smart, but to be fair, we've
you know
it's like 7 year old.
What? Anyway, what'd you get for your roll there, Octavia?
Roll your goddamn dice.
Well, you were gonna say something and people were cutting you off. What were you gonna say first?
As you pull out your short bow and you draw an arrow from your quiver and knock it back, this raven doesn't move.
Is there like, what is it sitting on?
It is perched on the branch of a tree right now.
Can I try and like aim for somewhere next to it? Cause it's creepy. Like, I don't want to hit it yet, but I want to see if it's going to like move if I like bump the tree or whatever.
Sure. Roll a attack. And as long as you don't critically fail, you'll.
What if I critically succeed?
You
hit the raven.
Get go home. I don't know.
Ah, great. I'm heading out.
You take the rest of the day
that
off.
That was
there.
A natural 20, so.
Oh, did you try? Wow.
I did. Yeah.
Okay. So your arrow flies and boom, right under the branch in between its two bird feet. And it doesn't even flinch. In fact, it maybe just cocks its head a little bit at you, pecks at the arrow.
Go ahead and stop me if you feel like this is too meta because I didn't roll anything, but I think Cinder at this point would like pull her crossbow and kind of look around and then return her gaze to that raven and just say, something's not right.
Well, I think Star is going to kind of like, before you take any, before anything, anybody else tries to shoot at this thing.
Yeah.
It's like, let me see if it will respond to my animal speech.
That's a good idea.
Bo.
Gah!
Are you able to sense magic? Nope. I didn't know if any of us had that. So
I think we've covered that before. It feels like something that Bo should be able to do, but yeah.
I think someone else said that they would, and then detect magic happened.
Tanner, let's random loot drop at some point. Maybe there could be like a ring of detect magic at some point in our future.
Maybe. Probably not.
Balance no. The game. Give us what we want.
Make a wizard next time. Can't have the best of every class all the time.
Why not?
And yes, the cantrip detect magic is the best of the class.
Could I roll like an arcana on this bird to see if I think it's magical?
Sure. Meanwhile, did you want to try the ring, Star?
Yeah, I'm trying to Okay, there we are. I have it. I have a ring of minor arcana. I don't know what that does necessarily.
It's probably a legacy item from
gives. No, I think
when
it
was the sky shattered, it blew up.
No. I can.
I think it gives you a plus one in arcana.
No. It says this ring gives you the power to cast the following innate arcane cantrips any number of times each day, which we can fix that. But detect magic, mage hand, prestidigitation.
Well, there you go.
Each
you
is a cast
good,
as
good
a
job,
first
Tanner, thanks.
And I am fucking so
on
this
it.
Game.
You just like panic, like snuck that into Octavia's.
Yeah, I think we bought
in the
that in
minutes.
The Dwarven City.
Yeah,
oh, I think wish. What do you want for no materials?
I think the founder says,
detect
if you
magic
are
in this game
arcane
is a cantrip.
Spellcaster, these can instead be heightened to the level of your cantrips. So I think Star will kind of digging through her bag to find this ring, probably find that as well, and hand it, just hold it out to anyone. Like, you might be able to see if there's a magical aura around it using this.
I think Beau should take that for sure.
I have two rings. Can I have more? I think you said I could.
I think that's why Star took it to begin with, those because
oh,
Beau
okay.
had two rings.
Well, then I want to do both things right now.
I only have two fingers.
But Octavia, do you only have one ring going on right now?
I mean, I only ever use the fucking animal talkie ring. Animal
yeah,
walkie talkie.
Again, you can have two equipped, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess. There's no way to, like, say that these are equipped. So I just forget about them.
They're
the
in my gear. You can add them to your gear if you want to.
Yeah.
I mean, they're in my gear as well. But
I put one of my gear things that I didn't want to forget is, like, a custom buff on my main screen.
Anyway, how do I do the Ring of Arcana? Or the Ring of Animal Friendship?
You can just cast Speak with Animals, and for 1 hour you can speak with animals.
And that's once a day, right?
Once
you
a day.
Decided.
Can I guess? I've done that first. We'll stick with that.
Is that a specific animal, or can you just hear all animals now?
All animals.
All.
Yeah.
Because imagine this forest is about to light up with a bunch of spiders just like fucking bullshitting with each other.
Hello!
Hello! They all have that same voice.
Want to join me? I seem to have an abundance of blood.
Would you be joining me for supper on the morrow?
I'm considering eating and killing those people.
Oh, God,
I'm
make
considering
it
getting into the real estate market. What do you think?
I voted for Brexit.
I think it would be. This would be a lot funnier out in like the wild during springtime, like. In the Feywild or something.
I'm so horny.
Yeah. Any ladies out here?
Sandra, come have Wait. Sex with me.
Betty, what was your name?
I
and
don't
that
care.
Concludes the second
Anybody,
half
I don't care.
Of this episode. Okay. Anyways.
I mean, the whole thing that's we didn't fuck up on.
We gotta end on a high note, yeah.
All right. What would you like to do first?
I mean, I guess if I can, I'd like to detect magic first.
Okay. And detect magic, what does it say?
I don't fucking know.
Send out a pulse of presence. You receive no information beyond the presence or absence of magic. You can ignore magic you're fully aware of, such as magical items and ongoing spells of you and your allies. You indeed detect magic from this bird.
Can we, in combination with that, I got a 28 arcana.
Okay. With a 28 arcana, this, and getting your sort of affirmation this is a magical creature, you get a sense that this is potentially a being from another plane. Not a regular, standard A Rel Raven.
Do you share that information?
No, I keep it all to myself.
Hell yeah.
No. I share whatever information I say, prefacing it by something ain't right with that bird. No. I am getting some sort of magical presence from this creature, but it doesn't appear to be from our plane of existence.
Well, isn't that your strong suit, Star? What
plane do you think it might be from?
The bird plane.
I can actually tell you, Kiaran, since you did roll a 28, that is enough to know this is a being from the plane of, or from the Vale.
Oh. Have you heard of the Vale? I don't know much of it, but I seem to remember something about ravens.
You can roll a lore planes if you like. Star.
Yeah. Total.
With a 19, you know of the Vale as the realm of the forgotten. It's a place where things forgotten to time, people, histories, everything is contained. It's where their essence and spirits coalesce. In fact, you would all know that spirits are being pulled out of the Vale by Hogoth and inhabiting these corpses.
So I guess Star says to you guys, from what I can recall, the Vale is a place where the Forgotten go to, well, continue being forgotten. I do believe that our friend Hogoth was pulling from that, well, pulling from that realm to inhabit the bodies of the freshly dead here.
Hey, Ayla.
Mm-hmm.
Did you take notes on whatever message Shadow sent you? I'm trying to remember what she said.
Maybe.
Which I should know because I said it, but I can't remember. I'm trying to find it.
Welcome to my life.
The message is just drawings on how to floss, like in Fortnite.
Timeout. You're on timeout.
It's a technique forgotten to the ages.
Forgotten to time. Number one victory royale. Yeah, Fortnite.
Oh, someone said, who was it that said something about Shadow being trapped in the Veil, no longer able to laugh? Was that in Bo's dream?
God, that was so long ago. I think so. I think it was in
Bo's vision.
Bo's vision.
Well, Tanner left the window open and let it rain on my notes, so most of my notes are destroyed.
I've forgotten to time. They're like in the Veil.
I feel like I've heard things about the Veil in past things, so I'm trying to check notes.
Well, who is Shadow's mom?
You don't know that.
I know I don't know that, but the podcast knows it.
Do they?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
There was a memory or something about you going to visit, like, your mom and the potentially the Veil or something like that, or some vision.
That was the vision that Shadow had had.
Well, I have, yeah. It says, Bo cast dream message to Shadow, and then all of my fucking notes are
look like that. Yeah, because it's like, that was the, there were ravens and stuff in Shadow's vision, but I can't remember if she told you guys about it, was what I was trying, I know she mentioned her mother.
Yeah, I mean, that's ringing a bell for me, for sure. Like, Shadow's mom was like some keeper or farrier of souls or something like that in the Veil.
Well, I'm down to try to talk to this thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we should probably try that next.
So you cast Speak with Animals. What do you say to this raven?
Sup, bro?
Yeah, well, what's up, brother? hello, friend. We come in peace. Is there a reason you're watching us?
Roll a diplomacy check.
Kind of looking around, is it just this one raven or are there more?
At this time, it is just this single raven.
Okay.
22.
The raven regards you with silence.
Let's see. Can I try? I'm going to keep talking to it. You can tell me what I need to roll to see if anything happens. Okay.
I notice that you're not quite from here. Does the veil ring any bells for you? Nothing?
It lets loose a caw that is not translated as it flies away.
Interesting. Star will kind of look back to the rest of her party and, well, that wasn't very... It didn't really lead anywhere, but I suppose we'll just have to keep our eyes peeled just in case we have any, visitors.
Cinder will agree and just look around and say, we should definitely keep moving.
It is odd. I wonder if it has to do with your planeswalking, Star.
Perhaps, but I get an odd feeling about that.
If anybody should see it again, don't hesitate to call it out.
And at this point, Star, you feel the hairs on the back of your neck stand up, and you turn around, and you are less than an inch away from Inara.
Not Inara.
Yeah, I was like, huh?
It was on the way.
The new Inara.
Meh. Inara just,
the better Inara.
Gives you the wettest kiss right on the back of your neck.
Ew.
Some say it's good luck. You should treasure that.
All right, Kiara and Star, what did you guys get for your survival checks hunting?
That would be a hard 20 for Kiara.
Is that a natural 20?
Yep.
Okay.
Mine was a 20.
Soft 20, actually. So, yeah, it was.
The duality of man. Kiaran, or rather,
soft.
Star,
those are two states that we can be in.
Star, you
stop. Washington or Star, Texas?
Shut up.
My bad.
Star, you return to the group with a handful of large, long millipedes, something that would feed probably about three of you, but you're quickly overshadowed as you see Kiaran pulling back this corpse of a... what's the word I'm looking for? Of a bulbous spider, roughly the size of a large dog.
Nasty.
And that will actually feed you all for 2 days, including Inara. So 12 rations, but you'll have to...
Goat's going to eat this spider?
I like to think Inara just immediately takes a giant bite out of its ass.
It's actually quite good once you cook it.
Yeah, you will have to prepare it. It is inedible at this point. But so
Inara, stop eating that. Knock it off. Spit it out.
Inara likes her ass.
Somebody get the spray bottle.
And uncooked.
What's the equivalent of a spray bottle in this lifetime?
Spider, you've never had good meat until you've had spider meat.
It's horrible. All right. Like Bo, what did you get for your survival to reorient yourself?
22.
Or to keep orientation. 22. Okay.
Harder soft?
With...
Sorry.
Tartar sauce?
Tartar sauce?
Tartar sauce?
With a 22, you find it difficult to navigate through the Spire Force. It is puzzling in here. It's very easy. Everything looks the same and everything is dark and shadowy. You find that very quickly you're unsure if you're traveling in the right direction. But it's been a couple hours now, and moving through this force is slow. It is difficult terrain. And as the day's sort of coming to its halfway point, I think, Cinder, you're probably the first to notice this. There is a slight smokestack coming from maybe a quarter mile away. Very slight, but you smell something roasting. And we'll have to find out what that is next time.
Oh, shit.
On the Reroll Gaming Podcast.
Whamp, whamp, whamp.
It's gonna be dwarf meat.
Dwarf meat.
Yeah, I got questions about the particular composition of the smell in question, but we can tackle that at a later time and date.
Because Cinder knows what cooked dwarf meat smells like.
No, mostly just like, what is the variety of flesh that is being prepared?
Thank you for listening to the Reroll Podcast. The world of Rell and all characters within are copyright and fictitious. Any similarities to persons, living or dead, or actual events are purely coincidental. Reroll Gaming uses trademarks and or copyrights owned by Paizo Inc. Used under Paizo's community use policy, we are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. Reroll Gaming is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo Inc. and Paizo products, visit paizo.com. Want to follow us on social media, listen to another episode, or send us hate mail? Check out our link tree for all our info. You can find that link in the episode description. Big thanks to Tabletop Audio for producing quality RPG music and ambiance that we could use in our games. The Reroll main theme and all character themes are copyright Zane Gehring. The Chronicles of Rell theme and Frequency theme are copyright Tanner Prentice. Please consider donating to our Patreon or Ko-fi if you liked our content. We are hell-bent on making more, and with your support, we can make a lot more. And leave us a review wherever you heard this episode. New episodes every Monday at 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. See you then.